A long, long time ago, as the sun rose across the great river valleys and plains of Ethiopia, a young ape was lounging in a tree. We can't know what she was thinking or doing that day. Probably she was pondering finding something to eat, or finding a mate, or perhaps checking out the next tree over to see if it was a better tree. She certainly didn't know that the events of that day would make her the most famous member of her species ever. Even if you could somehow tell her, the concept of fame wouldn't make any sense to her. She also didn't know that she was in Ethiopia, because this was millions of years before anybody had the bright idea of drawing lines on a map and giving the shapes names that we could have wars about. She and her kin were slightly different from the other apes that lived at the same time. There was something unusual about their hips and legs that let them move in a novel way. These apes were beginning their descent from the trees and starting to walk upright across the savannas. The initial change that in time would lead to you, and me, and every other person on this planet. The ape didn't know it, but she was living near the beginning of one of the most remarkable stories of ever. This was the dawn of the great human journey. Then she fell out of the tree and died. Roughly 3.2 million years later, a different group of apes, some of them now in possession of PhDs, would dig up her fossilized bones because this was the 1970s, and they were listening to a popular song by a group of extremely high Liverpudlians at the time. They decided to call her Lucy. She was a brand new species, what we now call an Australopithecus africanus, and she was hailed as the missing link between humans and apes. Lucy's discovery would captivate the world. She became a household name. Her skeleton would be taken on a multi-year tour of the USA, and she's now the star attraction in the National Museum of Ethiopia in Addis Ababa. And yet the only reason we know about her is because, bluntly, she effed up. Which, in retrospect, set a pretty clear template of how things were going to play out from that point onward. From the opening pages of Humans, A Brief History of How We Effed It All Up by Tom Phillips. You know, the F-bomb is getting a lot of play in public lately. It's in social media, it's in politics, it's in book titles, even children's bedtime stories. I reviewed the picture book for adults, more than kids, but whatever, titled Go the F to Sleep, not that long ago. And I begin to wonder how long the F word will retain its pungency and its ability to shock and draw attention. But it's not really the title of today's book that drew me into it. The cover did, once again, get me to take a second look. Those covers actually do matter. No, what is most fascinating about today's book is the utter futility of human endeavor that it displays in its brief review of human history. So many of the F-ups discussed by Phillips, those activities or omissions by humankind, whether they date from the earliest annals of human history, cue the start of agrarian societies with all of their pluses and their many minuses, and on as we move into the many centuries of recorded history of humankind, and finally into today's world, what unites them all of those years, centuries, millennia, seems to me, after my reading of this book, is how utterly clueless we, as humans, have been through the entire history of time on Earth. Yes, we F up regularly, but it's the cluelessness that struck me. No matter where we live, no matter what our geography, no matter our race, our strong religious bent, or our fact-seeking, scientifically-oriented humanity, according to today's book, we have always been amazingly clueless about the perils we put ourselves and our future generations, our kids and our grandkids, into. And it's more than the philosopher Santayana's dictum that, quote, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it, end quote. Though that is a key to much of the discussion here, Phillips reminds us once again of the foibles of both Napoleon Bonaparte and the not much more than 100 years later Adolf Hitler, as they futilely tried to invade the land we know as Russia. No, it's the sense of disaster, that fate looming large in this romp through human history, through the centuries, that hits me most of all. But it's not all doom and gloom in humans of brief history, though there is plenty of both in these pages. There is humor on nearly every page as well. Yes, it's gallows humor, it's derogatory humor for sure, but it's humor nonetheless. For instance, speculating about the ecological disaster that hit Easter Island. You know, that remote Pacific Ocean island where all those giant heads gaze out to sea. Phillips asks the rhetorical but richly humor-infused question, what did the Easter Islander who cut down the last palm tree say while he was doing it? Which, our author goes on to say, is a very good question, and one that's pretty hard to answer. But maybe a better question might be what the Easter Islander who cut down the second-to-last tree, or the third-to-last, or the fourth-to-last, was thinking. If the rest of human history is any guide, there's probably a fairly decent chance he was thinking something along the lines of, quote, not my problem, mate, end quote. It's a writer's device he uses over and over in these pages, lightening what are often dismal and depressing discussions of human activity through the ages with a Monty Python-esque twist, a viewpoint that leavens the dark with a bit of ironic lightheartedness, at least for those willing to laugh at the absurdities of human activity. Humans: A Brief History is definitely written for our present day. Past F-ups are easy to spot. We all look back with what we think is 2020 vision, though the author is quick to point out that history is a slippery study indeed. So we ought to beware of too much cocksureness when we look back, and certainly this book is a cautionary beware of the future. In fact, the entire last chapter tells us about that. Perhaps the best use of this book, then, is for navigating our way forward as we try to understand our present. Let me finish by noting that you, potential reader, don't have to read this book from cover to cover. You can hop from chapter to chapter, as each chapter is more or less self-contained. Are you turned on by politics? Well, there are a couple of chapters for that topic, ranging from the initial appeal and later disgust with dictators to the philosophical lure and the actual pitfalls of democracy. Are you excited by derring do? Well, there are chapters for that. Are you summoned by science? Well, read on and learn about humans' well-intentioned but ultimately badly ending attempts to understand the human mind. Or how about messing with, most often enhancing, we tell ourselves, nature? With the introduction of rabbits into Australia in the 1870s, which within 10 years became an out and out of control epidemic across much of that continent, bringing the Asian native kudzu vine to the American South as an ode to successful erosion control effort. Adding giant carp into Africa's Lake Victoria as the British colonialists' interest in improving fishing in that giant African lake. And let's not forget the unintended release of killer bees into Brazil. And then the rest of tropical and subtropical South and even North America, which, granted, has given us B-level horror films to pass away the time as we watch the Sci-Fi Channel, among others. And then there is warfare. The aforementioned disasters awaiting those who invade continental Russia may take center stage, but there are so many other battles to be fought and tisked over. Dismayed by warfare? Although it is one of the most human activities, the author is quick to point out, it's okay to skip those chapters. There are so many more disasters and mistakes to take in, and so on, and so on, and so on. Let's end with these cautionary, but again, kind of humor-tinged words from our author as he wraps up the story so far of the human adventure here on Earth. And as he looks into the future and tells us whatever our future holds, whatever baffling changes come along in the next year, the next decade, in the next century, it seems likely that we'll keep on doing basically the same things. We will blame other people for our woes and construct elaborate fantasy worlds so that we don't have to think about our sins. We will turn to populist leaders in the aftermath of economic crises. We will scramble for money. We will succumb to groupthink and manias and confirmation bias. We will tell ourselves that our plans are very good plans and that nothing can possibly go wrong. Or maybe we won't. Maybe this is the moment that we change and start learning from our history. Maybe all this is just being pessimistic. And no matter how dumb and depressing the world today may sometimes seem, in actuality, humanity is getting wiser and more enlightened. And we are lucky enough to live at the dawn of a new age of not effing up. Maybe all this is just being pessimistic. And no matter how dumb and depressing the world today may sometimes seem, in actuality, humanity is getting wiser and more enlightened. And we are lucky enough to live at the dawn of a new age of not effing up. Maybe we really do have the capacity to be better. One day, perhaps, we'll climb up a tree and not fall out. Humans, A Brief History of How We Effed It All Up by Tom Phillips. It's available for your reading erudition and humor-tinged enjoyment at all of our local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.